John started from John chapter 1, laying emphasis on light. I greet you all again. I greet you all. Thank you all so much. Priests and kings. Thank you, Jesus. So, Uncle John was talking about light. And he started from, John chapter 1. Says the same came for a witness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. This was talking about John, right? I believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Right? He was sent to bear witness of the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. I appreciate you, Sati, Uncle Jimmy, Uncle Yinka. Thank you all so much. Thank you, the choir. We need to, their voices are, the voices, like, those voices, when I say voices, I don't just mean, their voices here as well, on the keys, on the drum. I think there's a scripture that talks about, there's many voices or, Yes, there's many voices, but there's none without significance, right? That's really what our choir represents, right? Every single one of you just giving us significance before God. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. Awesome. Right, so it says that John was not that light, right, but he was sent to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Right. So this tells us that before we gain access to the light, there is a preparation that needs to be done. Right. And that was what the Lord was able to do through John, right? Making the crooked places straight, the rough smooth, right? Dealing with different soul defects. So all flesh can now what? See the salvation of the Lord, right? So there's a work that has to be done for light to shine. And in a sense, the work that has to be done, if I could use this as a explanation, is pretty much just taking us from one point to another, or from one location to another, right? Because your location determines what you see. Right. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. So, there was a man that the Lord had raised in John who, through the mercies of God, was able to take men from a certain place and point them in another direction. And that direction was the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right. But And as he was doing that, something was happening in our in their persons, right? You know, but what's the significance of what someone like our Daddy John did in our present time, right? Like, how do we rightly appropriate that? Or do we just say, okay, he did the work, and now it's time for us to listen to Jesus and all his apostles, right, and see, you know, and just go from there. I place it to you, I think that's what Uncle John says. So I place it to you that especially John, he was the one who was able to give understanding or give a light sense. And that light sense was or is in regards to formation. Is in regards to what? Formation. Before you can see, the eyes need to be formed. Right? Your eyes need to be what? Formed. Right? Your eyes need to be what? Formed. So, in the case of Abraham, right? I think in Genesis 13, Genesis 15, the promise that the Lord was making, the Lord made to Abraham in 13, he said, if he looks to the north, the south, and right, that as far as he can see, that's so shall his seed be. Right? And his seed as in one, not seeds, right? And he said the same in 15 as well. So in Genesis 1, he was talking about him looking far in regards to the blessings of the earth, right? He says, if you can count the sand on the seashore or something like that, right? Then in Genesis 15, he said, if you look far in regards to the heaven and you can count the stars, he said, so shall your seed be. Right, that's what he said in those two scriptures. And then when Abraham, or at this point it was Abram, when that had happened, right, here the instruction was for him to walk, right? And as he walks, he would inherit. Right. But in Genesis 15, the Bible just says, Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So you start to see a sense, a picture starts to find expression here. In the case of, yes, let's go back to that 13. In the case of Genesis 13, we'll try to bring everything together, right? The Lord told him that he should arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Right? And then Abraham followed suit and he received the blessing because he believed. Right? So here we see there's a visible sense of the instruction that that he needed to take in order for his seed to receive that blessing of multiplying as the dust. Right, which was walking. But in the case of Genesis 15, when he was talking about the heavens, right, the Bible just says Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Right. So what was the work that was done here? Right. Because the way righteousness comes by faith, right? So from faith to faith. So from faith to faith, you attain righteousness. So there was a faith Abraham had attained in 13. that was continued here, right? I think this was after Lot had left. No, 13 was after Lot had left, right? So there was a faith that Abraham fulfilled, right, in 13, and a faith the Lord had helped him fulfill in 15, right, that at this point, the way he was now being blessed was in terms of righteousness measures. It was not just in terms of inheriting the earth. So his sight had changed. Now they could reward him with something that was unseen, and he will value it. Now, what was that thing that was unseen? Righteousness. Right? Does that make sense? Not really. Okay, I'll try to explain in a different way. Because it's quite important that I feel this was just what was laid in my heart. Based on instruction that Issa Mama said, she said, I've seen it. And this is what I was seeing. So honestly, when Uncle John started with John 1, my heart just sunk. I was just like, these people that are meant to be given charge, why are they starting so high? Like, what does charge mean? Is it not just to get you going? Well, some people's charge is like, it's like high voltage. You just, so I don't do that. Okay, sorry. Thank you for doing that. Okay, John chapter 1. Okay, so here, right, when we talk about blessing, this is how I'm going to try to explain this, Genesis 13, the blessing of Genesis 13 and the blessing of Genesis 15, right? In Genesis 13, what the Lord wanted to give him to inherit bodily, he could attain it physically, right? If we go back to that Genesis 13, right? It says, previous verse. Yes, it says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, he says, lift up now your eyes, right? Lift up what? And look from the place where you are, right? Look from what? North, south, east, and what? West. So, there was an instruction there. Let's go back there. Right. It says, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Or from the place where I have put you. There is a place. You know, when he was talking to Moses, he said, there is a place by me. Right. And it's from that place that you will see my goodness. That's what he told Moses. So here, he now says, after you have measured a separation, it brings you, because the sense of separation is that you have moved. Be ye separate. You have moved from a place, right? If the person is separate, if English, if the person was the one that was separate from you, they moved, not you. Right? Does that English make sense? Are you sure? It doesn't make sense in my head, but right. But here, it was Abraham that separated himself from Lot. Because when the conflict started, it was Abraham that said, okay, what should we do? Right? So Abraham did what separated himself from Lot. Right? So Abraham had measured a separation, even from his family. right? Because of peace, right? And so because of that, and not just that, you know, he even said to Lot that Lot should choose. You know, with these men, there are some meekness measures that the Lord will help me get there. Yeah. Say amen now.
Yeah.
Right? Because when I read this story, you brought Lot with you. You are the master of this place. Why are you asking him to choose? Why can't you choose? Does that make sense? Right? And I believe it's because at this stage, I don't know to what measure, but that sense of being a pilgrim was starting to dawn on the heart of Abraham. It was because, and the reason why I believe this had started was because when he was to leave, he said, the Lord told him to go to a place where I'll show you. He never gave him a destination, right? When he left, right? So if you are leaving without knowing your destination, you don't really have a place of settlement in heart. You are just moving. But if you are leaving with a sense of destination, you will be weary until you get to that destination. All right. So if we were to go from here to Healing Lights, it's happening in the U.S. now, right? If there's a detour in the flight, what will happen? You get weary. You have problems because you know the destination, right? But if your destination is just get on flight 226, right, and I'll tell you where you go from there. Even if there's a detour and you want to vex, you're like, where am I really going? Right? So you just, there's a detour. We're sorry. You know how they will even compensate you with tickets, what do you call it? Vouchers. People will just be like, I don't even know if I'll enter plane again. if you're getting the sense, these are some of the things that heal us of offenses. Right? Because you're just moving and just following what the Lord is saying. Right? Are we getting that sense? Right? So at this point, the Lord had helped and he left. Like he left. He left with his family. He didn't say, wait, let me go find that place and then come get you. Right? He left with his family, right? Because his family is the expression of his treasure on earth. Right? And for you to do that, you must be a strong man. Yes, you must be a strong man. And scriptures, is like different scriptures kind of give us a sense of what these things mean. When Jacob was leaving, he left by himself. He was thanking the Lord that he came back with a band, right? When it was told him that his brother was going to kill him, what did he do? He separated his treasures so they would be kept. And he went first, right? Because those people were precious to him. Does that make sense? So for Abraham to have done this, thank God, so we can learn from it. That's all I'll say. Right? So at this point, he had measured a separation, right, from a treasure. Does that make sense? Because his family was that treasure, right? But in that treasure, there are certain things that maybe should have been left behind. Right? So here there was a separation that happened. And after the separation, what do we see? What do we see? The Lord now says, from the place where you are, from the place where a measure of separation, where a separation has been measured, now there is another treasure for you to come into. Right? So he was standing on the ground, on a separated ground. So in a way, it's almost like the Lord just came to comfort him because of the separation of Lot. Right? So the Lord was coming to fill something, a void, in a sense, that had happened to him because of his separation. Right? Because in the spirit, there is really no void. And this was why Abraham was able to obey this instruction. Because there was a void there. What was that void? Separation from Lot. I'm not saying Lot is a bad person, please. I'm just trying to paint a picture. So because of the separation from Lot, the Lord saw that there's something I can put in there. Right? These are some of the things that fight our faith life or our ability to obey commandments. When the Lord comes, there's something where he wants to sit. So the first instruction is to first take that thing out in order to put his own life in there. Right? So Lot was separated here. Right? And then there was a measure of inheritance that could come to him as far as he could see. Right? But this sight was not just... this was when he started to have a sense of heavenly blessings. But heavenly blessings that pertain to the earth. Right? Because here you're talking about as far as you could see. You're talking about that which is far. When you talk about that which is far, one of the things that come to mind is heaven. Because heaven is what? It's far. So they decided to awaken him here to heavenly things of the earth. But this one, he can attain by walking. You just see how far it is and walk to where it is. But you must see it first. He saw it first. He saw that heavenly location. Right? And then he now has to. But then you now see that even though there's the inheritance of, there's him. Right now, what I'm trying to paint is the picture of a man. I'm painting that picture of what Uncle John was saying. Hopefully we can see the tabernacle, right? That's what I'm trying to paint now with this, right? So you see a man who is to go north, south, east, and west. He's to inherit those places, but he still doesn't have a destination. Because if I go to the north, okay, I get what is in the north. Then I now have to go to the south, like two opposites. Then I now have to go to the east. Then I have to go to the west. Then what next? Right? So even in inheriting, there was still no destination per se. But this could be attained by walking the breadth of it. So physically, he could come into, right, some measure of reward, right? So he was, by walking, he received measure of life. Does this make sense so far?
Yes, sir.
So that was what happened in Genesis 13, by his walk and measure of, and by his walk and the separations he had come into, right? He could inherit something, right, for his seed, right? So here we start to see that sense of formation of seed. Because this is a promise for the seed. So this is what he has to do for his seed. Right? This is what he has to do for what? His seed. Uh-huh. Right? It says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Right? So, here the Lord is taking him through a process, right? That's for him and his seed, right? And then the Lord now heaves the blessing up in Genesis chapter 15 and now tells him that, okay, you can walk the earth, but you can't, how are you going to walk the heavens? How? All you can do is, you can what? See the stars. The distance from the earth to one star, I don't know, it's far. It's far. Right? So, you have to thank God that he didn't say Abraham should reach. Because then, that might be the end. Abraham to just be like, after I've been following you all this while. You know? But, so here, what we should be seeing now is that the measure of not just faith, but the doing is, right? Faith without works is dead. The work required to inherit life here, the obedience required here has been heaved up. Because at this point, you are no longer walking physically to inherit. By seeing, there's an obedience you need to do to inherit. Does that make sense? Right? So, he believed, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. What? He believed, and what happened? It was counted to him for righteousness, right? And this righteousness, what we were seeing is that what this righteousness points to is that his taste had changed. Righteousness could be the reward. Now, this righteousness is not just the reward for him, but for his seed, right? Righteousness in that he believed in the Lord. He did what? In the Lord. He believed in who? In the Lord. Who did he believe in?
In the Lord.
His trust had started to change. Where his strength was coming from was changing. I believe this is the part where he was talking about your shield. Yes. He said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Right? So, here, in the process of him still asking about that physical seed, right? I'm just trying to explain here, if I can, in simpler terms, is that there was a shift in Abraham's heart in regards to his believing in the Lord, right? He started to believe in the Lord of the heavens, right? And in his believing in the Lord of the heavens, there was also a shift as to where his seed will find expression. So his seed was now to find expression not just on the earth, but where? In the heavens. So first is, there's this expression of the seed finding expression on the earth. Now, there has to be a change where his seed will find expression in the heavens. So the way he now starts to think about that concept of seed having a child, right, physically changes. Right, because what he now needs to put in that seed has changed from this. Because now, what he's seeking to put in his seed and in himself, in his family, are things that pertain to righteousness. So, the reason for having a seed here is changing. Right? The reason for what? Is changing. I'm no longer just seeking to have a seed for blessings of, if I can put it that way, the heavens of the earth, right? But that which is higher. Right? And in that place, when they come to you and they say, I have a blessing for you. Yeah, what's your blessing? What's the blessing? What's the blessing? God. What's the shield? God. What's the reward? God. So can you swap your seed and take me? He said, I want to be that reward, not the fruit of the womb is his, right? That's what the Bible says. The fruit of the womb is what? His reward. God is saying, can I be your fruit? Can you birth me as a reward? Am I good enough as a reward for you? So when Abraham was to sacrifice his son, the training, the instruction didn't start then. Before the manifestation of the physical son, there had to be a change, right? He has to come precept upon precept. You have to hear twice. That's one of the things we learned last Psalm 62, right? You have to hear twice. Your soul has to hear it. All right, so there was a swap here, right, where the reward had to change from the physical manifestation of a fruit in Isaac, which we saw, right, to God being the actual reward, right? So when the Lord saw that he believed in this, he said, aha, now I can give you what? Righteousness. Now I can do what? I can do what? Thank you, Jesus. So, the Bible says, you seek first what? The kingdom of God and what? So, righteousness, right, is that which you seek. Because when you open up the word or the person called righteousness, it's in righteousness you see the reward. So in righteousness is how you what see the reward. So, now the reason why we're going through all this route is to show us that when it was time for Isaac to be born, right? Isaac was born in a place, in a location where, for the lack of a better word, he pretty much had no option but to seek heavenly things. Right? So, the seed, now, we know the seed is Christ, but there's also that seed in Isaac, right? Or physically, Isaac being the seed, right? So by the time it was, when Abraham had fulfilled all the obedience, right, then that seed was fully formed. Then that seed could be dropped in Sarah, right? And then that seed could now come to life, right? Now, the sign of life is light, right? The sign of what? Life is what? Light. But before all of that, they had to believe. There was a lot of believing, right? So that what Uncle John was telling us in Hebrews 11, their world, there had to be a reshaping of what they define world as. A different world had to be framed, a heavenly world, a pilgrim life is what they now had to start seeking. Not just him, but his wife. So by faith, they started to understand that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So it's not in Isaac. There's something higher than Isaac. So when he was going to give Isaac away, he just made up his mind that, okay, if you can take Isaac, you will give me someone else. It's you I want. Something had happened to his sight And this is what we pray. We are praying for. This is what we are praying for. That our sights will be changed. But before there is a change in sight, there is a dealing or obediences we need to follow for that seed to be formed. Because in that seed, right, that seed, when you look at that seed, it has all the information. A tree, a seed has all the information pertaining to the life it needs to express, right? But that seed has to be formed first. A seed doesn't just drop, right? So the world, the formation of a world starts as a seed. When you see a seed, you have seen a world. When you have faith, your faith is first as a seed. When you have faith, you have access to a world. Now, seed, right? That seed really is the definition of sight. That's the beginning of sight. Seed. That's why the Bible says, if your eyes are single, it's one seed that brings forth, right? And seed is sight, is an eye. A seed is an eye. Because if you look well, you will see all the life particles, life expressions in that seed. So if your seed is full of light, how great is that light? But if your seed has been contaminated, how great is that darkness? Right? And in this day and age, you kind of see, like, many things we do with seed, cross-pollination and things like that, right? So it's possible that seed has in it, there's the capacity for that seed to carry life, right? But before that life can be formed in the seed, a work has to be done. A work has to be what? Done. So when you see the seed, you start to see light. Because when you see a seed, even in the natural, right, you start to have light when you know what that seed is. If it's an orange seed, you see far that an orange tree will grow just because of the seed, that sight. That's understanding, right? But if no one gave understanding of that, you wouldn't know what that seed is, right? But, so that makes sense in terms of sight, right? Now, but that's not all in terms of seed. There's a reason, you know, I was talking about how Abraham had to journey. Right, Abraham had to journey, right? He had to journey into the right land where the seed can be planted, right? Because it's not enough to have a seed. Where you plant the seed is important. The ground, the atmosphere, and whatnot. So for the seed that was in Abraham, the only atmosphere, the only ground where that seed could be planted is in heaven. You know, Pastor Jeff was preaching one time and he was talking about firmament. And he said, firm. A firmament is firm. And I was like, oh my God. What do you mean by firmament is firm? You know, and then, you know, when he was explaining, it made sense because through the firmament, there is a separation between the heavens and the earth. But the heavens is what they use to define a firmament, right? So things stand on that which is firm, right? So when we're talking about heaven, we're talking about the seed, where that seed should find expression. It has to find expression on or in, English again, on a firmament, in a firmament. It has to be planted there, right? And then what happens? It finds expression, right? So if your seed is planted in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. How blessed are you? How blessed would we be? So in the person of Abraham, the Lord took him through all of that till he gets to a place, a land, a state, a heart posture where the atmosphere and everything pertaining to that seed could now come out. Right? So that was the dealing that our father Abraham went through. And the Bible says, for as many of us who walk in line with this faith, would we also receive this blessing? So if our father Abraham could cite that which is heavenly, we can. We what? Does this make sense? If our father could cite what is heavenly, then we absolutely can. God helping us. We will start to value things that are righteous. We will start to value God and his things. His things and his things alone. But there has to be a migration from earth to heaven. There has to be what? Yes. Because as the migration is happening, the seed is being formed. As what? The migration is happening, what? The seed is being formed. As what?
The migration is happening, the seed is being formed.
Because the seed has to be in the right soil to find expression. It just has to be. And God is not a God of waste. He's not going to give you a seed, right, that he treasures if he knows you won't treasure it. So, and this is where mercy is needed, because wherever we migrate to is the seed the Lord will give us. Whatever land we find ourselves, that's where there's a scripture that talks about the land that consumes its inhabitants. Right? Uh-huh. Well, how would the land be able to consume its inhabitants? That means that land also has life in it. There's a life in it. Right? So if you get to that land, you will become one with it. Right? So that land has a seed in it that has found expression. Right? So getting to a land, right, you have access to a seed. And that seed, when it finds expression, right, is what is yours, because that's the land you are in. If you sow apple, you can't reap bananas or mangoes, right? But it's tied to your land. Sorry, your land is tied to your seed. So the journey, when the Bible says we should walk, whatsoever the sole of your feet tread upon, right, I have given you to inherit, right? Because that land has a life in it. The seed of that land is in there. And that's what the Lord wants to give to us. So when you talk about things heavenly, there is a seed, a life in that heaven that the Lord wants us to receive. When we talk about earth, there is a seed or a life that the Lord also wants us to receive, right? But as we are walking, as we are able to measure, as we are able to bring forth the right type of obedience, right? Then we would be able to receive the seed in that land and start to bear fruit. So that was what the Lord was doing through John, right? Kept turning
eyes of many who would hear towards that light. But as your eyes are turning, there has to be a change in your person, in your understanding. You have to be moving from being an earthly person seeking earthly reward to a person that is seeking heavenly reward. That's a formation happening, right? Because something is happening to your mind. There's a renewal happening to your mind. So it's something I thank God for, that this conversation of formation did not start with Jesus, but it started before him. Because maybe this thing started with Jesus. They'll be like, this Jesus is high, oh. But we see men of like passions teaching us through the law and the prophets that formation is possible, right? And they tell us that through sufferings, right? Because the element of change is death. For you to enter another place, you have to die and then come alive. And this is through the law and the prophets, not through the law and the prophets. Jesus also showed us, but it was primarily through the law and the prophets. And in fact, these are the things that Jesus had to learn for it to dawn on him that, okay, I have a father. At age 12, that reality was dawning on him, right? I read that scripture every day, and okay, not every day, but the times I read about it, or it comes, for 3 days. It was 3 days, right? I just imagine Ire just telling me, God, give me the heart of Joseph. Where Ire would say, don't you know I must be about my father's business? And I have not reacted before I now apologize. Right? But it says something about the parents as well. And where the heart was. Right? That they didn't react. They didn't understand it, but they kept it. Right? A keeper. Right? And that's the thing. When you are in a certain plane, you might not understand everything about that plane. But when the aroma of it comes to you, you know. Like knows like. One of the places that this thing has found expression of, right, in the natural is when you meet a fellow believer. Just a little sensitivity, and just by their words, not in church, right, just outside, through interactions, you just get a witness, you just get a whiff that there's something about you, right? I might not understand it, but there's something about this person that I just had a conversation with. Sometimes it's like they wash you, sometimes it's like, something in your womb just shouts for joy. There's just an expression just by being in contact with them, because there's a life in them that is reacting to a life in you. It's deep calling to deep. It's not that deep, but, right? But that's a sense, right? So even though you might not, they didn't understand it, but because they were also in a certain plane, when Jesus was talking, they had the right reaction. What's the reaction? Even though you don't understand it, don't destroy it. Even though you don't what? Understand it. Don't destroy it. That's what happened in Genesis 15, right? That seed, that migration that happened in the heart of Abraham, right? He was able to believe. He didn't destroy that promise that the Lord brought to him. And the Lord said, this man values that which is unseen. and so he could be given righteousness. Right? So a formation, does this make sense? Right? I'm sorry if this, right? So a formation happened, a turning, right? And so that's what the Lord was able to do through John, right? And John was able to, by, you know, a lot of help, was able to point us to that light. The true light that lights every man. So if we, and if through many men of faith, even Ezekiel, Moses, we see they all had this formation, this Isaiah, we all see, you know, different ways that the Lord came, right? Jeremiah was small. For him, he said, I'm too small, I can't do this. He said, no, as small as you are, I've made you a rock. Something had to shift in him. Isaiah was prepared until he saw it and he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Woe is me. Another shift had to happen, right? Abraham was what? With idol worshippers or something like that. A shift had to happen in him, right? The same with Moses. The same with, so when you read these people, you should see your soul. There are places in us where we feel like we're not mature enough. But the Lord is saying, I have put life in you. Right? There are places in us where we are still in love with our idols. And the Lord is saying, measure a separation. Right? And we just have to follow. Right? Through the process of death. Yeah. That came out too hard. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. But there's grace to die. So the Bible says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, scripture is like, we have to be careful, right? Because there was a reason why he had to tell people that, you know, it's one thing for John to have had to tell the men of that time that he was not the light. And he had to tell them because they asked, right? And he said, I'm not the one. But he also, because of the ministry he carries, or he carried, he had to say it plainly to us as well, so that we know that he was not that light. You see that? Right? Because of the greatness that John, or because of how great the person of John was, right? So him saying this, when I read this, I don't just see a person who's just saying, oh, I was not the light. You know, I see a person who was dying. When he says he was not that light, what I see is he must increase and I must decrease. Because when Jesus came to the scene, we could see that there was that somewhat subtle, you know, between the disciples of John and the disciples of Jesus, and people were fighting on behalf of John that why are your disciples going, right? And then John had to say, guys, he must increase, I must decrease, right? So there was something, right? John, you know, Pastor had spoken about being a carrier of the message and also a carrier of the way. So John preached this message, but he not only preached it, he had to live it so that he could properly point men in the direction of that light. And he kept reducing. He kept reducing. So the land, all flesh, right, was now able to, right? The hardest of them was when he said he couldn't even tie the latchet of his, you know. Right. So where are we journeying to with all of this? The concept of a seed is where we start to see, you know, this definition of light. Right? If your eye is single, the Bible says your body shall what? Be full of light. So, you know, when we come to a gathering like this, where we can hear these things, I don't know how best to say or how clearly to say this. For the seed of faith to come into your heart, a lot of labor has happened through the minister, through men who have gone through travails, many travails, right? And so, you know, God will help us, you know, and that's, in a way, it kind of makes sense to me why maybe we don't, you know, we, like, even myself included, why maybe faith, you know, this faith thing, we don't maybe take it as seriously as we ought to, because when it is given to us, it's not of works, lest we should boast. So the work of receiving the seed was not done by us. It was done by someone else and given to us. Right? So the person who did that work was our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He gave a seed. Right? And this is what one of the things that I just want to paint clearly. He gave a seed. Right? And we've been talking about your seed is tied to your land. You can't take a seed and go sow it in another land. So if Jesus is giving us a seed, there's a specific land that seed needs to find expression. There's what? A specific land that the seed needs to what? Find expression. Right? If Jesus has given us a seed, right, there's a specific land that seed would what? Find expression. But when, so let's keep that. If Jesus has given a seed, there's a specific land that seed needs to find expression. Thank you, Jesus. There's a land, right? Now, the sign, I had said earlier that the sign of life is light. I think maybe we'll just talk about that and God will breathe more life in us as we move on. I hope we're being blessed. I'm enjoying this, so thank God. Thank God, Pastor Jeff didn't look at my eye. So there's a labor that Jesus did, and the labor which he was able to convince. I don't know if I can say he convinced the Father, but for the lack of a better word, Jesus was able to tell the Father that the seed he wants to give to everyone who believes in him is a heavenly seed. So that seed can find expression in heaven. But the contradiction is that he's giving that seed to earth dwellers. So at new birth, flesh, grass, even beasts to a certain measure can receive that life. But the life, that seed, is a heavenly seed. The seed is what? A heavenly seed. So it kind of makes sense why that seed will not find expression in your flesh state. It makes sense why the seed will not find expression as you want it to in a beastly state. Right? But once we fully transition as we are growing and we get there, the seed starts to shoot up. It starts to what? Shoot up. Because it's in the right ground. So you labor to enter into that ground. So your life starts to find expression. I hope we're getting a sense of the journey, right? So why is faith not finding expression now? Maybe it's because we're not in the right land. Does that make sense? Maybe it's because we're not. And when we start to, the Bible says in the case of Joseph, the Bible says he was tried because of the word. So the word you hear frames your world. And that's what determines the kind of the direction you will go. Knowingly and unknowingly. Especially unknowingly. The Bible says you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Someone just keeps you. Something just keeps you. And every believer, once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you say, come into my life, right? Things just change. Something just starts to frame us, right? And point our direction towards heaven. Point our direction towards what? Heaven. Point our direction towards what? Heaven. Point our direction towards heaven. Now, the sign of life is what? Light. I'll just talk about that briefly and tie it all together. Now, what does that mean? You know, when the devil came and tempted Adam and Eve, and the Bible said that their eyes were open, right? The Bible said their eyes were open. God told us that they died, right? So their eyes were open, and the Lord has said if they eat it, they would die, you know? And I have come to realize that, I am realizing that the sign, like when we talk about this sign of life, right, the sign of life being light, right, the light can either be the light of the devil, which is death, or the light of God, which is life and eternal life, right? But you see, this thing, right, this thing of death is such a mystery. It's called up and hidden in many mysteries that sometimes it's hard for us to see, right? When we talk about death, physically, what comes to mind is like physical separation, right? And that is death in a measure. But that's not really death. That is one of the most powerful lies of the devil. This physical separation of death. Very powerful. It's real. Here today, gone tomorrow. It's real. Right. But if we are to look at death in different light, we see that in the spirit, death cannot be someone dying. Because in the spirit, you don't really die as you die in the physical. Does that make sense? So if you start to look at yourself like as a spirit being, when you die, it's not like your spirit too now dies. Right. Your spirit is still conscious. In fact, when you die here, you are now really conscious of your state there. Right. You become what? Conscious of your state. You don't have an option because the veil has been removed. This earthly body. So you now start to see your true self that, So at that point, you start to have a different definition of what death is. Right? So when we talk about death here, it's not separation in terms of physical separation. It's separation in terms of understanding. In the spirit, it's separation in terms of what? Understanding. One of the scriptures that paints it very beautifully to me was when they were talking about the principalities and powers. The Bible said, had they known, they would not have what? Crucified. So the gulf between them and the Lord of glory was what? Knowledge. That was the separation. Knowledge. So there was a life that they were, that the Lord of glory was dwelling in, right? That these princes did not know about, right? And as a result of that knowledge, right, they unknowingly did what they were not meant to do. And as a result of that, glory came forth. Now, the glory that could not find expression on the earth eventually found expression as a result of their ignorance. So what they blind men with is also what is blinding them. Ignorance, right? So when we talk about death here, we're talking about a gulf in knowledge. Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and his only Son, whom what? He has sent. It's a gulf in what? Knowledge. That's what separation is. Knowledge of who? The Most Holy One. Knowledge of the Holy One. Knowledge of Christ. Knowledge of the Father. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of the keeper of them, the Holy Ghost. Now, we cannot. I'm sorry, my English is. This life of the Father, thank you, Jesus, and the Son is kept in a building called the Holy Ghost. You see that? So, when he said, I will send you the Spirit of Truth, it's because that spirit is a building that is housing them. Right? So, our faithfulness with this spirit gives us the wisdom of building. Where this spirit is coming from, wind. That's what they used to paint this born again experience, and he that is born of the spirit. This way of the spirit that is being painted to us is to cause us to have an understanding of what it means to be a building. Because the surety of this building is that if I can be a building like the Holy Ghost, they will find expression in me. They would what? They would find, they just have to. They have to. He will bear witness of that truth. Because the sense of the Spirit is that he looks not on his own things. He speaks of what he sees. He searches. He seeks the things of the Father. He desires the mind of the Father. He desires the mind of Christ. And that's what makes him a building that cannot be destroyed. You cannot destroy what does not exist. Holy Ghost, we're going to destroy you. Where's my building? This is your building. No, I don't exist. What do you mean? Well, where am I? I don't exist because I don't seek my own things. So when we are talking about a place not made with hands, the Holy Ghost was not made with hands. They're giving us a sense of the life they want us to come into. The only beings that, at least the scripture tells us clearly, right, as the beings not made with hands, are those three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because they have a record of a life that is eternal. So when they are talking about us being made as to not being made with hands, is they want us to embody this life, right? And so the faith that they are bringing to us, the sense that they want us to come into is a sense of their life. And it's a sense that comes by the Spirit, as a result of the Spirit of truth. As a result of that Holy Ghost that it took his death and resurrection to come to us. In fact, we couldn't pray for the Spirit. He had to pray the Father to send the Spirit. So, what am I saying in summary? When we are talking about the Holy Ghost, when we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about God, right? There is a sense we need to start to have. There's a sense we need to start to develop that this faith, right, that is being spoken about, right, is being brought about to form a world, to frame a world in us, right? And this world cannot... This world only finds expression in the heavens. It only finds expression where? In the heavens. But the Holy Ghost is the person that has been given that can relate with us from here and take us there. All right? And so, when he comes, right, he first starts as the Holy Ghost, but then he can transform into the Spirit of the Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord, how can he transform to the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of God? Right? So, in that house that is called the house of the Spirit of the Lord, who is in there? The Lord. In the house that is called, in the Holy Ghost that is called the Spirit of God, who is in there? God. Right, so the spirit of a thing, that's why building is also spirit, calls that thing. Does that make sense? So, Lord, come into your temple. I must have the materials of the Spirit of the Lord. Then the Lord will come into his temple.
Building calls life, and building shields from other lives. But this only happens, okay, not only, but through faith. It starts to take us from earthly to heavenly inheritance, where we are now starting to seek that which is righteous. So when he's saying seek those things, or the kingdom of God, you should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's saying seek heavenly things, right? Because, you know, one of the things the Lord was telling me was that, you know, this thing, right, it's men that embody this life. That's why Jesus had to come in the likeness of flesh. It's men that embody what you call the Spirit of the Lord. It's men that are buildings that are called Spirit of the Lord. It's men. It's men that are buildings that are called Spirit of God. It's men. It's men. It's men. In the likeness of sinful flesh, he had to come to make it plain. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, to let you and I know that my inheritance can find expression in the days of my flesh. Had they known, they would not have crucified him. Had they what? Had they known? We caused the separation at Eden. What was that wisdom? We thought death was the highest thing. But then they went into the depths of where we thought we were and made an open show of us. How is that possible? Through the eternal spirit. Uncle John was teaching us about this through and by. He had the knowledge of the life he had to come into through the eternal spirit. And that knowledge that he had to come into through the eternal spirit framed a world of understanding. So that he, because you know Jesus said it, he said, that thing he said, it really wrecked my understanding through and by. Through. Let's go back to that Hebrews 11, verse 3. This is the last thing I have to say. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So here we are seeing a building, right? And what did Jesus say? He said, destroy this building. And afterwards, 3 days. So it had to be through the eternal spirit for him to have an understanding for a building to be framed in him. So that that building could what? Be destroyed and brought back to life. And after that building started walking the face of the earth, he said, do not touch me until I go to he who should touch me. So his life can sit in me. The building knew, I don't know that wisdom, but he knew the wisdom of touch me not, Mary, until the right person touches me. Then you can touch me. That's the wisdom of the building. I don't know what that means, but it just, when I read it, there's that odor, I'm like, there's something here. What does this thing mean? But it's the wisdom of the building. It's the wisdom of the building that tells you that I am a virgin chaste for my master and I cannot be touched by any but by him. What kind of wisdom can do that? It's the wisdom of that spirit, eternal spirit. So when we are learning these things, the prayer in your heart is, Holy Spirit, help me not to despise things invisible.
This is why he had to go and send another comforter. Help me find, this is the prayer, let's just start to pray. Help me find comfort in things invisible. He said, I have to go to send you another comforter. There is another type of comfort, another type of reward I need to be fine. I need to rejoice in these days. Let's start to ask that there would be a change in our taste buds. Lord, you will help me. You will change my taste. You will change my taste. You will change my taste. I will start to find comfort in things that are not seen. Oh, we thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And so, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your light. Father, this is the one thing we ask. For our eyes to be single. For us to be able to seek one thing. Help us find comfort in things invisible. Things of the heaven. Where we seek just one thing, which is you and you alone. Even as we go, we ask that these meditations will find expression, more light, more life, more grounding, more rooting of these things will find expression in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.